Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to receive tonight? Tonight is the last night. You have to open your heart and open your spirit to receive from the Lord. You cannot afford to live tonight without a touch of the Holy Spirit. So lift your hands toward heaven and talk to the Lord. Of Zion to draw wisdom and inspiration, empowerment tonight. We ask, oh Lord, that you will cause a reconfiguration of our perceptive vistas to understand the mind of the Father. And we ask tonight that you grant us the capacity to walk into the fullness of the heritage of our ordination. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Come on, turn to your neighbor and give your neighbor a high five. Tonight is a night of power. It's the night of the move of the Spirit. Listen, somebody has already received an instruction to embark on a 21 days fast. To seek the face of the Lord. Hear me. Lower this sound because my soul is light this evening. If you are not careful, I will accelerate in the spirit and leave you guys behind. Somebody has already received an instruction to embark on the fast to seek the face of God because hunger, the protocol, hunger has already been activated. Listen, but you've not seen anything. What the Lord will be doing tonight, we literally, hear me, literally cause a shift in your spiritual positioning tonight. Most of you will gravitate from the position of desire into the position of experience. Not too many times in meetings, not too many times, but there are certain times where the Holy Ghost grants us the Rhema word that gives us the authority to open the veil of the supernatural so that people who do not have faith to walk in the supernatural, that supernatural breaks upon them. Tonight is such a night. Many, listen, I'm not saying when you go home in a dream. Many in this hall, we have open visions. Ah. for the first time, you will literally sense the power of God in your palm. Power. Power. Listen. It's going to be a night of the demonstration of power. You will sense the power of God. And I will give you liberty. You will touch your neighbor and you will transfer the power. Over. A dimension will break upon us tonight. See, there's a difference. There's a difference when a man walks in a spiritual level and when he walks in a dimension. Dimensions are not accessible to people on account of their zeal or hunger. Dimensions are only accessible when you are invited. So Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. It's the man inside that opens. And tonight, the Holy Ghost is inviting us into the supernatural. So many possibilities. Listen, most of you, I'm not going to pray for you. But many things you were trusting God for answers. Because we are entering a dimension. The answer is available in that dimension. It's one thing to walk by faith. The Bible said in Romans 12:3, it said, unto every man is dealt a measure of faith. It's one thing to walk by the economy of the faith within. But it's another thing to walk in the realm of faith. So when Jesus approaches a demon, the demon begins to cry out. He has not commanded. He was not only walking by the economy of faith, he was walking in the faith dimension. So when he comes, there is an energy that he comes with. That energy alone rebukes demons. So he doesn't need to cast out devils. If he shows up, the dimensions he's walking in has the capacity to cast out demons. Most of the things you pray for, the answers are locked up in dimensions. If you break into that dimension, your prayer point becomes forgetting. Why? Because you have entered the realm where you seek solution. We are going to walk in a dimension tonight that all the answers to your prayers will find expression. As we ascend in this meeting, refuse to be distracted, because the goal is not to educate you tonight. The goal is to bring you to a place. It's called the realm of Mahanai, where the supernatural fuses into the natural. Lift your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to minister to you tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. On the throne. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Father. You seated the throne. Many of you will receive gifts from angels. You will not need the pastor to speak by word of knowledge. You will see it. You will receive it. And you will walk in it by the Spirit of God. I glory to the
glory. Let your glory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. See, there is a fragrance of God. Many of you who are discerning, you can sense it in the atmosphere. There's a fragrance. There's a fragrance. But if you are a natural man, no problem. God will help you tonight. You know, the Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, because they are foolishness unto him. He said, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Many cannot sense what's going on in the atmosphere because you are natural. I was told that a lady was found around this hall with a chicken making enchantment this afternoon. Those of you in the natural, you think it's a joke. But the energy we are emitting in the supernatural, the negative supernatural is already sensing the vibration. Thank you, Jesus. Lift your hands toward heaven. Say, Lord, I'm ready tonight to receive. I'm ready to receive tonight. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. There's an energy level. We are breaking into an energy level already. Can you speak in tongues? Let me show you something. There's a river flowing from this side of the hall. From this side. And it's coming like this. If we begin to pray in tongues in the next 2 minutes, the power of God will begin to move here. The power will begin to move here. The power of God. The power of God will move like this. Some persons, their ordinations came for them yesterday, but they couldn't receive. He said, so there is a river that is about to flow through them. They couldn't enter yesterday because they could not access by faith. See what the Holy Ghost wants to do in the next 5 minutes. He wants to activate prophetic psalmists. They hear sounds. The sound is not necessarily a song. It's a spiritual infrastructure to cause a spiritual resonance so that possibilities can flow into the natural. Precious Holy Spirit. fire. A revolving fire. It's coming upon somebody. A revolving fire. A revolving fire. Maratatatabaras. Every sister, those is no angel. It's a revolving fire. A revolving fire.
Them that will change your life forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. The devil is a joker. He thinks we don't know the things that we have at our disposal. You see, the Bible said, it said we have not received the spirit that is of this world, but we have received the spirit that is of God. He said, therefore, we know the things that are freely given to us by God. It's on the strength of the things that we have freely received from God that we boast. Our audacity is not in anything within us, of ourselves rather. Our audacity is based on the Spirit of God that resides in us and the revelation of God's word. So we are not perturbed, we are not disturbed, because we know we are always in charge. When they called me this evening and told me somebody was doing an enchantment around the hall, I told my brother Victor, I say, our prayer have ended. No more praying. Because the devil dared to come. Because he dared to come around, there is a holy vexation. We will come to destroy the works of darkness. Many of you that are given to addiction, I will not pray for you this night, but the power of addiction will be broken. I'm not talking what I don't know. I was here last year when your GCF was inaugurated. And after the meeting, a lady called me 7 days after the meeting. And that was the first time in 2 years that she went more than 3 nights without having sex. She was shocked that for 7 days she had not slept with a man. Because a power that kept her in perpetual slavery was broken. I told you that the apostolic office is not just meant to teach and preach. We come to establish governmental policies. And tonight, the mandate of God concerning your life, whether you receive it cognitively or not, will be deposited in your vessel. You will live here and you will realize that you have been changed into another man. You know, Samuel told Saul, he said, as you depart from me, he said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will be changed into another man. Saul did not bargain for a change or a transformation, but a man of government spoke and things were orchestrated in the direction of transformation. Somebody's life is about to change forever. Thank you, Laura. I'll share the word of God for 20 minutes. And then we'll take time to pray and establish kingdom policies over your domain, over your territory, and over your campus. I'm just being careful not to drain myself so much. Because when the heavens are open, if you're not careful, you will be drained. It's when you leave the meeting, you realize that, oh. Meanwhile, in the next 3 days, I have 2 other GCCF meetings to minister in. As I'm leaving here tomorrow, I'm going to minister in a vigil in UNM, in their GCCF convention. And as I'm leaving UNM, the next day I'm going to UNEC to minister in their GCCF convention. So we are out for kingdom business. I meet thousands like you every week. And the testimonies are enormous. And you are not about to be a different person. You are going to receive a testimony of transformation and you will become a wonder to your world. That's the reason we preach the gospel. We don't preach primarily to educate people. We preach to bring people into the fullness of their calling and their ordinations. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We began the course of this meeting by establishing the fact that there are many spiritual possibilities that we have received of God, not on account of works, but on account of the cross. That because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we have the legitimacy to be possessors of the things of God. Before then, we did not have the right to the things of God, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we are not just brought to a position where we can participate, but we are brought to a position where we become heirs of the kingdom. God designed this visible realm to be a mirror image of the spiritual realm, so that the man standing in this world will be that figure that represents the personality of God, and the figure that will give expression and allowance to the things that are in the heavens of God. The reason God planted Adam here was not for Adam to beg him for things, but Adam was on this earth realm to execute mandates that are heavenly. So he said he had the right of dominion over the earth realm, so that the realities that were captured in the confines of Eden will become the full expression of the possibilities that are in the earth realm. That's why Eden was not everywhere, it was a location. But God told the man to cultivate and to keep. So through the assignment of the man in the garden, the possibilities of Eden will be spread around the whole universe. So the man had the right over the things of heaven. But on the fall, he lost that prerogative that he had with God, because he could no longer access the things that were captured within the dimensions of the heavens on account of the fall. When Jesus came and paid the price to satisfy the demands of divine justice. What he did for man was to bring man to a restoratory position where he sustained the capacities that were lost, where he sustained the authority and the rights that he had with God, so that he could do the things that Adam was supposed to do in the Garden of Eden. So your life, your environment becomes your Eden. Whatever becomes of your life and your environment is a function of the revelation that you have of the cross of Jesus Christ. Because God will not come to give you bread anymore. He gives you the power to make bread. That was the protocol of the cross that we began to establish on the first day of this meeting. That we now have the right to the things of God. Begging is removed. Authority is replaced. Every kingdom functionary that understands the position of the cross has the right to the things of God. And I gave you a very simple example. I said the reason we go, we don't pray for the sick. Jesus never said pray for the sick. Jesus said heal the sick. Because you have the right to execute healing. And I told you when we pray for the sick, we don't ask God to heal the sick. We command the sick to be healed. It's a revelation of where we are standing currently with Jesus on account of the finished works. And I said, this is not designed to make us proud and arrogant. Rather, it humbles us. Because we know that even though we received salvation on a platter, it was not free of charge. It cost God his life. So every time we exercise authority over the things of God, we are full of thanksgiving. That's why our life becomes an unending river of thanks to the Lord. Because we know that everything we are, have become, and can do is not a function of our specialness in us. It's a function of the degree of sacrifice that Jesus had to go through to bring us to that position. So it does not make us arrogant, neither does it give us the legality to continue in sin. On the other hand, it makes us become more humble and grateful to God, because we realize that the life that we live now is an airtime that Jesus paid for. Hallelujah. And I said the cross does not only come to afford us provisions. The cross also came with a demand. The reason for the demand of the cross is not for you to pay another kind of price. Because what we call legalism is one of the things that the Lord detests the most. The reason is simple. If you earn what God gives you, then God does not qualify for the praise. That's why the Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency can be of God and not of man. So the realm is designed such that man can never take praise. If what you manifest is a degree and a function of your fasting, then it's not because of God anymore. If what you manifest is a function of your prayer, then your prayer is what deserves the credit, not the sacrifice of Jesus. So I let us understand that even though the cross comes with demands, the demand is not to give us a prerogative right to the praise that should go to God. The cross only helps our soul, which is in a fallen state, to ascend to that level where we can experience the things that are already in our spirit. If you are manifesting the prophetic today, it's not because your fasting and prayer created the prophetic possibility. The prophetic possibility was downloaded in your spirit. Your fasting and prayer helped your soul to come to the realm and the level of your spirit, so that your soul can experience that which is already downloaded in your spirit. So the demand of the cross is not it's not what gives us the ability to create. Rather, it's what gives us the right into experience. Every one of us here, for example, is healed because of the cross. But you will discover that most of us are still sick. So when you get healed, either by praying or by exercising faith, it was not your faith that created the healing. The healing was paid for and it was in your spirit. But the faith you exercised was what gave you the ability to experience in your body that which is already in your spirit. So we said for us to walk in experience, there is a demand of the cross. The reason many Christians are frustrated is because they know what they receive from God, but they don't pay the price in order to experience what God has given to them. I gave you a very simple and logical example. I said, for example, your father may send money to your account, and the bank may be in town. You may need to get money to go and get your money. So to go to town, you may need to spend 5,000 to go and receive the money your father sent you. Now, that you paid money to go to town does not mean the money you paid is what put money in your account. But in order to receive the money that is in your account, you have to go to the bank and follow the necessary laws that are in place. So that's what the sacrifice of alignment does. The sacrifice of alignment, which is the demand of the cross, is what brings us into the experience of the things Jesus has paid for. So you can profess it, you can confess it, but if you don't yield to the laws that makes for the availability of those things experientially, you will not have authority to impact on existential realities. Existential realities are the crises you go through every day, and it is the price of alignment that brings those things that are in the spirit to impact on those crises. So if sickness is your crisis, there is something you do in order to receive the healing that is in your spirit. If poverty is your crisis, there is something you need to do to receive from that which is your spirit to cure poverty. If sin is your crisis, there is something you need to do to receive the righteousness that is already deposited in your spirit. It is called the demands of the cross. And tonight, in the next 15 minutes, I want to show you the demands of the cross. We call it the sacrifice of alignment. We also call it the laws of spiritual alignment. Many Christians don't know the law and they don't commit their life to the laws. So even when they receive a blessing from God, it's momentary, because every spiritual possibility is regulated in the laws. In Romans chapter 8 verse 1, the Bible says, now there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He said, they that walk after the spirit, not after the flesh. But how do they walk in the experience of the spirit? He said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what has set me free from the law of sin and death. So life is already communicated me because of Christ. But for me to walk in the experience of life, I must conform to the law of the spirit of life. So Paul said something. He said, in order to be able to prove the acceptable will of God, he said, first, you must present yourself, Romans 12 verse 1, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And he said, you should not conform to this world, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So there is the obedience dimension, and there is the doctrinal or intellectual revelatory dimension. If those two comes together, Paul said, then you shall be able to prove, to demonstrate the will of God concerning your life. So it's not enough to know it. It's enough when the price of alignment is paid. Many are not willing to pay the price of alignment. So they live in distraction, they live in wantonness, and they expect to walk in this dimension. I was teaching in the university last week, and I told them something. If you look at what we call the Airbus, the Boeing aircraft, it weighs over 80,000 kg. How is it possible for that piece of iron to float in the wind? You can't even carry it because of the mass. The mass alone makes it impossible for that matter to float in the wind. And as if that is not enough, there is another law in nature that opposes the flight of that matter. It's called the law of universal gravitation. Because of the mass of that iron and the law of universal gravitation, it's impossible for that plane to fly. But by ordination, the plane was designed to fly. So the law is not the problem. The mass is not the problem. It's for the plane to conform to the law that is consistent with the operational modalities of its ordination. That law is called the law of aerodynamics. The moment the plane conforms to the law of aerodynamics, gravity becomes inconsequential. Mass becomes inconsequential because the law of aerodynamics affords it flight possibility. That's how life works on this plane. There are laws that you must give your life to for you to be able to experience the things that God has really given to you. Many are not willing to yield to those laws. There is something you do to stay at a particular level in the spirit. And if you want to go higher, there is something you still do to go higher in that level of the spirit. If you are experiencing a dimension today, there is something you must do to keep you there. And if you want to go deeper, there is another thing you must do. There are laws of the spirit realm. I am doing my doctorate degree now. I'm a PhD student of physical chemistry. I understand the principles of electromagnetic radiation. There's a principle that governs the existence of all things. the chair you are sitting should have collapsed if not for laws. Because according to the law of classical physics, every electron that is moving in an atom will continually dissipate energy because of the centripetal and the centrifugal force. The reason the atom does not collapse is because at a particular energy, energy is quantized. So long as the electron remains at that energy, it doesn't dissipate energy. That law is what keeps it stable. And if that electron wants to go higher, it must absorb another quantum of light. The moment it absorbs it, it jumps to a higher energy level. So it's not magic, it's law. Many Christians hope and think that things will happen to them. They are jokers. The realm is governed by laws. Experiences in the kingdom are governed by laws. And until you commit your life meticulously to those laws, you can never walk in their experiences.
You ancient Zion's King, we cry out, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh. Almighty on your throne.
Can I teach you tonight? Experiences are governed by laws.
You hear people tell you what you do don't matter. They are destroying your life. Because one of the quickest ways the devil destroys a man is to put the weapon of destruction in your own hands.
Did you read about the madman of Gadara? The stone he was using to injure himself, the devil was not stabbing him, he gave him the stone. But he altered his mind. The moment the mind became wrong, everything he had was a weapon of self-destruction. So when they tell you nothing is wrong, what they have succeeded in doing is to manipulate your mind. That's why a young lady of 17 years thinks sex is fun. She thinks clubbing is fun. They have put a weapon of self-destruction in her hand. A young boy of 18 years thinks marijuana is fun. It's a weapon. She thinks she will just do it today and get what she wants, and then all of a sudden, every Friday she can't sleep anymore. While she's lying down in the hostel, it's as if she's hearing the sound of the claw. She doesn't know that the demon that brought that appetite have caused a breach to be created between her and that possibility. She has become a slave. When she wants to stop, she can't anymore. At first, she thought masturbation was just a means to create momentary excitement until the day she wants to stop. Then she discovered she's not the one doing it. There is something regulating her. She has become a puppet in the hands of the devil. There are laws of the spirit.
Yeah.
The devil is not strong. Men are only ignorant. The Bible said in Isaiah 33 verse 6, he said, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy time. When you see a man moving with gravity, there is something he knows, and there is something his life is committed to. Every time you are frustrated, you are actually ignorant. Your problem is not frustration. Your problem is the problem of ignorance. That's why he said, all things pertaining to life and godliness have been given to you, but the operation is through the knowledge of the Christos. But it comes by understanding and engagement. What are the laws that power your life? Who told you you can be big in this life? Go and ask the people that made it. Nobody makes it by luck. There is nothing like luck. Everything you see around you is an orchestration of spiritual intelligence. No luck exists in this realm. The realm is too organized for luck to have a window of expression. Did you not read about the seasons, the circles, the patterns in the realm? When God created the realm, he didn't allow any window for luck. The tree doesn't grow because of luck. There is a circle that is weaved into it by ordination. So the seed goes to the ground, it germinates into a tree. The tree produces another seed. That seed goes to the ground. There is no luck. When you see trees grow, it's a pattern. It's a circle. There are laws that govern the operation. There is no experience for anybody unless that person has come to a point where you gain mastery of spiritual doors.
I see a lot of young people, they are hoping that one day they will make it. You are a joker. That was what your father taught 30 years ago. And that's why today he's poor.
If you don't want to have the experience of your father, then you must learn the laws that make things happen in this realm. Many people, when they were young, they thought they would become. You don't become anything. The reason you are in school today is because there are things you must know. If tomorrow will be better, say, Lord. The first law of alignment is the law of the secret place.
I've done a teaching on this, but I will go a bit further.
The law of the secret place. Man is a fallen being. There is a place where that man is supposed to come into fusion with the God of creation for him to be able to give expression to the dimensions of God. If you don't find your secret place, there's no hope for you in this life. Hear me and hear me clearly. I'm making very strong and absolute statement because I know what I'm telling you like the palm of my hand. Anybody making exploit in this kingdom is a man that has gained mastery of the secret place, where the spirit that regulates his life gives him wisdom and strategy. It's the place where you meet the spirit of the principles. Because what you call principles, I tell people, is life beyond mortality. And until the spirit that furnishes the intelligence of those principles imparts you, that principle will become important. That's why a lot of people write resolutions, they never keep any of them. Because the principle can be intelligent, but what gives the principle life is the spirit that furnishes that intelligence. But you encounter the spirit in the secret place. The first thing the secret place does for you is that it makes you become a mirror image of your God. You want to appear like God, have the capacity to do the things that God do, then you must meet him in the secret place. It's the first law of the secret place, the law of waiting. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 28, it says, have you not heard? Has it not been told unto you that the everlasting God fainteth not, neither is he weary? He's giving you access into the credentials of the one who is called the El Shaddai. Because the El Shaddai is the multi-breasted one that suffices every other, but it doesn't deplete in essence. He's giving you access into a revelation of a being that continuously makes every other thing survive, but itself does not need a source because it's the source of all things. He said he doesn't faint and he doesn't weary. But he made a very strange statement. He said the young man shall faint. The youth shall faint. The young man shall utterly fall. You know what he's telling you? The youth and the young man is the prime of human strength. So he's telling you that for you to do business with the divine, natural abilities cannot suffice. It's a waste. Because a point will come when you will collapse. Because natural abilities cannot prosecute economies that are born from the realms of spirits. He said, but there is a possibility. In verse 31, he said, they that wait upon the Lord, they shall mount up with wings like the eagles. He said, they shall run. What will happen? They shall not faint. They shall walk. They shall not be weary. What is he telling you? There is something in the spirit that if you engage, everything about you will become a reflection of the divine. That's why Jesus said, the Bible said concerning Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he said he was the express image of his person. That means in this human vessel, there is an intelligence in the spirit that if you engage, you can become like God. At first he said, it is God that does not faint, it is God that is never weary. But he said something, he said, now they that wait, they too shall not faint, they too shall not be weary. What happens? The secret place is a place where God downloads his abilities into a man. If there's any crisis in your life, all you need to do is to carry it to the secret place. A point will come when that thing will be choked. It's a system of waiting. Waiting, you just stay there with God. If it costs you everything to master it, you will do it. When I began to learn the way of the secret place, I have playlists. I will play certain songs and it will condition me. I will just focus. and you just stay there. A point comes when the realm and the atmosphere of heaven opens to you. That's when you leave the secret place, you come out, and then people will be shocked that pride has been tamed in your life. People will be shocked that anger has been tamed. There is no doctrine to correct anger. It is the revelation of God that the man touches in the secret place. You stay there, and every insufficiency of mortality dies. The reason you hear somebody tell you that he has addiction for 5 years is because he doesn't know the road to the secret place. The day he finds the secret place and he begins to wait, what he calls addiction will die. It's an economy in God. They now wait upon the Lord. Take me deeper. Deeper in love with you. Jesus, hold me close in your embrace. Take me deeper. Deeper than I've ever been before. I just want to love you more and more. How I love to be deeper in love. Do you have a secret place? No, you don't. I know. That's why you are the way you are. The day you learn to wait on God, when people see you, it's God they will see. Jesus said to Philip, he said, you've been with me and you asked me about the Father. What audacity. The Father, the one that the Bible said sits in the midst of the coals of fire. He said he dwells in the midst of unapproachable light. How can you be walking with human vessel and you say you are like the Father? It's the mystery of the secret place. He said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can a man become so much like God? Is the mystery of waiting. It's a technology of the secret place. Many of us are too much in a hurry. We are everywhere. That's why you lose even the things that God gave you. Did you not read? He said, My Lord gave me a servant to keep. He said, but as I was here and there, I lost the servant. And he said, you have proclaimed your own judgment. Most of you, the reason you can't manifest even the things God has given to you is because you are here and there. You don't know how to wait. It's a system of spiritual intelligence. Only high flyers practice it. Spirituality is not about emotion and euphoria, sensations and excitement. When they come to church and they are falling, they are feeling like this. They think it's about falling. The real molecule of Christianity is in a daily practice. It's the law of waiting. The second thing the law of waiting does for you is that it brings you into seasons of your life. Let me tell you, every season of your life is not the same. You'll be joking to think it's the same. You will be seriously joking. You will be joking. You can keep your certificate for 10 years, but the day they invite you for a job interview, the value of your certificate has changed. Because if you don't go with your certificate, you are not qualified. That certificate can be in your drawer for 5 years, but the day interview comes, better get it. Because that day the value changes. Hope you are students here. You read, don't you read? As I was passing, I saw people under the street light reading. But when exam comes, the number of people reading will increase. And the time, the duration, and the intensity of concentration will change. Why? Exam have come. You will be reading, but at that time, it's not the Kairos moment. The reason we pray and fast almost all the time is to build capacity for the Kairos moment. Because when the Kairos moment comes, it's the time of visitation. Jesus lamented over Jerusalem. In Luke chapter 19, verse 43 and 44, he said, because thou knowest not the times of their visitation. They know not. So they think, foolish people think life, everything is the same. Everything, they think everything is the same. They think every moment is the same. Not every moment weighs the same in the scales of balances. There are times when the decisions of your life needs to be made. They are seasons. When the Holy Ghost was about to come, Jesus said in Luke 24:49, he said, tarry in Jerusalem. The word is wait. Because there is a season coming. If you don't wait, you will miss this one. And the Bible said they were there in one accord. Because a season was coming. God, Jesus had died and resurrected. The church is about to be born. But the one that carries the DNA of the church is about to visit the earth. If you want to be part of this season, better wait.
The Holy Ghost did not fall on everybody. He fell on the people in the upper room who were waiting. There were many believers outside because Pentecost was going on. It's not because the Holy Ghost is coming on earth and it will fall on everybody. He fell on the men who were waiting. How many seasons of your life have you missed because of your distraction? Movements here and there. You are there, you were not praying. Suddenly you begin to sense the hunger for prayer. But because you lack spiritual intelligence, you are not aware that there's a window resonating on your head. Men who are wise, like the sons of Isaac, the Bible said they had understanding of the times and of the seasons. What gives you command in life is your ability to master your times and your seasons. He said, because he said the heads of them were 200, and all of them were in charge, we were at the commandment of their brethren. The reason I'm preaching to you today is because I maximize certain seasons. What will create the difference between you and your classmate tomorrow is the function of seasons. Many of you may waste your seasons, but I pray that this evening somebody will receive wisdom. The secret place is the major determinant. The major determinant of the manifestation of spiritual possibilities. You will have many gifts, you will never have the ability to manifest it. Because it will sound like noise and guesswork, distractions, assumptions, speculations, presuppositions. Until you gain mastery on how to silence your spirit. The reason we sit and we say there is somebody who is fair, tall, who is wearing this look, is not because necessarily because we see it all the time. Most times the information flies through your spirit and it passes faster than a second. But you have learned how to gather your spirit in the secret place. So when it comes, you can pick it. Somebody say, Lord, teach me the way of the secret place. You want to pray for 1 second? You want to pray in the spirit for 1 second? Go ahead and pray in tongues for 1 second. What you call the gift of the spirit, for example, is not something given to you for keeps. It's called the manifestation, the charisma of the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost flowing through a man, but the man the Holy Ghost flows through is the man that has mastered the art of stillness. But it is taught in the secret place. They tarry. They tarry. How long can you tarry? There are many of us that can't even stay for 30 minutes. It shows how distracted and connected to this world you are. You are separated from the realm of God. Because the secret place is the place of the presence. Many can't access it. They go to pray after 30 minutes, they are already tired. Or they sleep off. They are in church, you are teaching the word, in 10 minutes they are sleeping. It shows you how rusty they are. That's why the promises of God can never find expression through them, because they are rusty. They don't understand the mystery of expression. It's the law of the secret place. The secret place
is the guarantee of sustainable impact. When you see a man consistent for many years, there is one secret about him. You may not know many. He's a man of the presence. He lives there. You think Reverend Chris Akilu may have been raising cripples for the past 40 years because he has the gift of healing. Many of you here have the gift of healing. There are some of you that have prayed for a sick person and he was healed instantly. And the next 10 people you prayed for, no one was healed. There is a level of spiritual fervency and fervor that you will carry to conduct supernatural dimension. It is preserved in the secret place. Most of you here have had visions before. But why do you think you cannot walk in the dimension of vision? That day something happened, you went high. But you don't have the power to sustain. The apostles, the Bible said, they should tarry until they are endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49. And when they had crisis, they were beaten, they were flogged. Fear and depression hit their soul. They were about to lose the things they received from God. And what did they do? The Bible said they went back to their own company and they lifted their voice in one accord. The same principle they applied when they received the Holy Ghost. And as they went out, the Bible said they were filled with boldness and they preached the word of God with power. It said, with great witness did God, with great power did God bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus. Because they know that sustainable impact is only a function of the secret place. That's why you will see Jesus time and again. The Bible said he went to the mountain. He went to the mountain. He will leave a crusade and run to the mountain. Early in the morning, run to the mountain. But many of us are joking. If Jesus, who was the Son of God and the world, could only demonstrate spiritual possibility by staying in the secret place, who told you have so much charisma? Who told you that you have so much charisma? The Bible said in Mark chapter 1 verse 35, it said, early in the morning, a great while, he went to a solitary place. There he prayed. That was his lifestyle. Matthew 8 verse 1, he was on the mountain. That's where he slept. And he came down immediately and he saw the sick, he began to heal them. You think it's because it's Jesus. The day you detach from the secret place, you cut your impact. Impact is sustained by your chain of secret place visitation. Many don't know the way of the secret place. That's why you will know everything God told you. An angel may even appear and tell you you are a prophet. You will be shocked that you will never manifest it. You will only tell people about that one encounter you had in your life. I started seeing visions of heaven at the age of 7. At the age of 12, I knew I had a call. But it was at the age of 21 that I accepted the call. Because I didn't know what it takes to walk in the call. The first time I saw an open vision, I was with my mother, singing and worshiping God in my native dialect. It was what we do every evening. She wired it into me so much that when it's 8 p.m., we begin to sing till 10. And then I sleep off, they come and carry me inside. And at the age of 7, a tender age of 7, I laid down outside and the heavens moved away like a screen. And I began to see visions of heaven. It doesn't matter how old you are, because it's a spiritual law. If you commit yourself to it, whether you are 70, the dimension can walk through you. And whether you are 5, you can still operate in it. It's a mystery of the kingdom. Many of us, our secret place is on Facebook. We stay there for 5 hours. No wonder the kind of energy and appetite we have are demonic and they are worldly. We can't stay in the presence because there's no energy. The guy can talk for 5 hours about Lionel Messi, but he can't pray for 10 minutes. 10 minutes he cannot pray, he doesn't know what to say. You say, okay, speak in tongues, even if you don't know the Bible, at least speak in tongues. And then he speaks in tongues for 5 minutes, he's tired. The problem has nothing to do with energy. It is the dimension that is used to. Because when you pray in tongues, you begin also by praying with your natural energy before the Holy Ghost takes over. The secret place is the maker of men. Champions and men of exploit are men of the secret place. It's a law of alignment.
The second law of spiritual alignment is the law of submission. I hinted you yesterday. I told you, Jesus, the fullness of reality. In Colossians 2:9, the Bible says, it pleased the Father that the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in him bodily. But Jesus said there were many dimensions he could not communicate to them. He said in John 16:13, how be it, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all realities. You need to understand something. Realities are dimension based. This realm is not governed just by rules and regulations. The realm is governed by secrets. Why things are called secret is not because they are just hidden. It's because they can only be revealed by the Spirit of God. He is the keeper of the secret of the realm. I can tell you now that ABC is the secret of word of knowledge. And then you can master ABC, but you can never move in word of knowledge. Because it is locked by dimension. So that you know the articles of the dimension does not mean you know it. That's why two of us can use the same Jesus, name of Jesus. The impact will be different. It's the dimension, the realm you are talking from. Many people call the name of Jesus in the flesh. They apply spiritual laws in the flesh. The reason is because they are not submitted to the Holy Spirit. You and I can be quoting the same scripture, but our lives will be different. The difference is in the degree of our submission, because it's the Holy Ghost that carries us into all reality. It is his responsibility. He is called the Spirit of witness. He's the one that proves spiritual possibilities. A lot of people pride themselves in how many scriptures they know. In 5 minutes, they can quote 30 scriptures, change their life. It's a contradiction. Because they know the scriptures, but they don't submit to the realm. The governor of the realm. A man who is not submitted to the Holy Spirit is not a candidate of experiencing the provision of the cross, the law of spiritual submission. For Jesus, he was the Word of God. He was the creator of the world. He was co-equal with the Father, but he had no manifestation. For 30 years, Jesus walked about with power, but he couldn't heal one blind person. He couldn't open one deaf ear. Is it that he doesn't know how healing works? He knows it because he is the Word. But the ability to give expression to healing came after he went under the government of the Holy Ghost. He went to John's baptismal service in Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. And John said, I should be baptized of you. He said, suffer it to be so for now. Thus, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. The Bible said the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He followed the Holy Ghost. He didn't come to say, I'm also God. He understands that in this realm, for you to be able to give expression to any spiritual possibility, you must submit to the Holy Spirit. And when he was done submitting, the Bible said he returned in the power of the Spirit. Suddenly, the Jesus that lived with them as a carpenter for 30 years, he entered the synagogue. And a demon possessed saw him and began to scream. What has happened? What has changed about him? He has gone under the government of the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost can break out through him. Suddenly, he saw the blind and he said, open. He saw the cripple. He said, open, rise and walk. He saw the deaf. He said, open. And everything began to respond. He had gone through the law of spiritual submission. Most of you know the scripture, but you don't have the obedience. You want to walk in spiritual experience, then the Holy Spirit must become the governor and the regulator of your life processes. There are many people who are far from him. Most of the time, the reason we pray and fast is so that our sensitivity of the Holy Ghost can be heightened. Because we know life is a risk if we don't obey the Holy Ghost. Many young ladies want to marry, and then they are checking in the flesh. This guy is a bank manager. This one works with NNPC. And then they pick the guy that works with NNPC because he's tall, he's fair, he has a broad chest, and his salary is bigger than the banker. The thing you don't know is that the guy from the NNPC, maybe his lifespan on earth is 2 years. What God wants you to do, they have a lifespan of 30 years. And it's the one you are rejecting that have the lifespan. So your intelligence can judge based on natural possibility. But how do you see tomorrow? Only the Holy Ghost can help you choose Because the one you want to choose, maybe his time on earth has been exhausted. That particular dimension, you can't see it. That's why it says, it's not given to man that walketh to order his steps. Only the Holy Ghost guides men. And wise men begin to live their lives from the point of submission. There are many who will never move until God speaks. You think, why was Moses so much a man of impact? He said, we will not move until your spirit go with us. And the Bible said, as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of fire, he led them. 40 years. Most of the times they were revolving around one mountain. Moses never came to a point and said, "Kai, this is Horeb. Now we passed here 30 days ago. Why are we coming back?" They kept following. Sometimes if you look as if the Holy Ghost is not taking you anywhere, he's protecting your life. There are many times when you go to travel and the Holy Ghost saw you when you paid money for the bus. After the bus was filled, he said, "Come down." And then you say no. And then you go on that bus somersault and you see it, 18 people die. Most of them are Christians. What's the difference? The whisper. There was no submission enough. There are many people that die, not because they disobeyed, but many times you can be saved if only you will submit your life. There are many people that have used their intelligence to choose alternatives in life that have become their hell. The men they choose because the man was buying them cars, buying them Indomie and buying them spaghetti. They thought the man was nice. They didn't go to hear the embers and the whispers of the one that knows what is the heart of all men. You didn't know that that Indomie that man was buying is a training he's going through for 1 week. The moment you get married, everything about smiles ends. The man that saw you before and is full of smile, now he's coming home like a tiger. Even when he was laughing with your neighbors, you could hear him laughing. The moment he enters the house, he begins to frown. If you knew that dimension, you would not have chosen. But the reason you are where you are is because of your rebelliousness. Is the nature of Satan. Every time a Christian cannot submit to the Holy Spirit, he has drifted to the Luciferian rebellion. It's the law of spiritual alignment. We are becoming calm now. The injection is entering you now. Most of you in simple things, the Holy Ghost wants to train you about high kingdom matters. And then it begins with WhatsApp. Say, don't go on WhatsApp. And you can't hear him. And then later you want to marry. You want the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Then you go on 3 days dry fasting. Where will you invoke him from? What he was teaching you many years that you refused to learn, now that you want to write exam, you want to know it all of a sudden. It's not a spiritual download. Light. God is light, and light is given out in packets. We call it quanta. In singular, it's quantum. Packets. So what God wants you to do 5 years ago, that's what he began to train you from here. Many years ago, God told you, he said, eat the word like a sick man depends on drip. Stay with my word like a sick man depends on drip. I will read the Bible, it was so dry. At best, I became used to scriptures. And if you call any scripture, I'll just tell you it's here. Call out. So those days when they are looking for scripture, they say, Alpha, some of my friends will even be going to preach. They will tell me, text, where is this scripture? Quick, quick, quick. Because there were not even phones to scroll through the search engine. I'll say, okay, it's here, it's here. But the scriptures didn't mean anything to me. I was just reading. And the Holy Ghost said, keep reading. Today, most of the times, we have to be disciplined to read the Bible because there's no time. As I'm talking to you now, every 4 days of every 7 days, from now, the ending of November is booked. Written in different states of this country. So if I'm reading the Bible now, it's discipline. The Holy Ghost knew a time will come. So he allowed me. There was a time when for 8 months, I didn't go out of the house. I was reading and listening to messages. Reading and listening. I didn't know what was happening. Preparation. If you submit to the Holy Spirit, what he wants you to do in the next 5 years, that's what is giving you the raw material now. That time you will be invisible. The people that will be with you, they will wonder. They will say, how are you doing this thing? How is this thing happening? They don't know that it's a operating system that have already been installed. But the Holy Ghost knows to you from yesterday. And that's why you must yield to him. Those little instructions that you have defined, they may be the things that will change your life for you. I was a scholar in the university. I thought we like this, if we come out, Jaws will be looking for us. I didn't know the Bible the Holy Ghost was telling me to read was what I will preach for a lifetime. For a lifetime. The woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. A man who trusts the Holy Ghost will be perpetually submitted to his government. It's a law of spiritual alignment. Alignment is the law of a heart cry. Many don't have a heart for God. Every time you see them serious in church, they have a need. So you see the sister praying like this. You say, thank God, finally this sister is on fire. When you go close to her, his husband she's praying for. The moment husband comes, prayer ends. You see the brother. You say, Jesus Christ. I was telling them in UNM. I said, those days, we see people with body and we say, Lord, please give me his body. When I grew up, I became wise. Because I realized some of those things were not body. It was lust. It was flesh. And it was selfishness. They come to God like an ATM machine. Their body don't last beyond their problem. The moment their solution comes, body ends. Oh, have your way in my life. It's a man she's praying for. No heart for God. But heart for God sometimes is cultivated. That's why one of the laws of spiritual alignment is the law of the heart cry. In Psalm 80 verse 18, he said that we may not draw back from you. Quicken us, O God, so that we may call upon your name. There's a place where we cry for God. Because we have come to a point where we discover that our zeal for God is going down. We tried everything, it's not working, so we begin to cry. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 4 verse 23, he said, and God gave unto Adam Seth in the place of Abel that Cain slew. And he said, Seth knew his wife and gave birth to a child called Enosh. And he said, then did men begin to call on the name of the Lord. Man and humanity have drifted from God. The only man who was the seed of Adam was Cain. Cain went to build a city in the land of Nod, and he began to practice all forms of demonic lifestyle, building a new system of demonic civilization. Then God gave a new mankind. A new son was given. And the only way this guy would return back to God was to cry. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. And God came in abundance. Many of us, we are so dry in the spirit now, that if we must have a hope with God again, then our prayer points must change. We must begin to urgently call upon the name of the Lord. God! I just quoted the scripture for you. In Acts chapter 4 verse 23, when they were dealt with, their confidence level dropped. They became afraid. What did they do? They said they came to their own company and they lifted their voices to one accord and they began to call on the name of the Lord. It's a law of spiritual alignment. When was the last time you called upon the Lord for him, not for your need? That's why it's difficult for you to do the will of God. The reason most times it's difficult for us to please God and to do his will is because we don't go to him for him. We go to him for the things that he can give. But men of alignment are men that always yearn after God for who he is. Time is a challenge. We are already running out of time. I want us to pray seriously tonight. And of course, told you about the law of trust. All of these things I'm showing you are the things. I don't have time to put it in an orderly way, because that would be a series. Laws of spiritual alignment are actually categorized into four. But I don't have time. If I want to do that teaching the way it is, we will spend it to be a series. I'm just picking what is relevant to you to teach you, so that it will help you. If I wanted to do a teaching on law of alignment, I would have taught you the law of transformation. I would have taught you the law of right standing, the law of possession, and the law of eternal consolidation. But it will take us a series. So I'm just picking the things you need. The law of trust. I told you, when a man trusts the Lord, what happens? His hand is revealed. He said in Isaiah 53 verse 1, who has believed our report? Unto whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? And what happened when the arm of the Lord is revealed? The Bible said in Exodus chapter 3 verse 20, he said, I will stretch my arm and strike the whole of Egypt with my signs and wonders. A man who walks in signs and wonders is a man that sees the hand of God. It's the law of trust. That's why the apostles cried. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 verse 23, they said that you may stretch forth your hands, that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child. Only men of trust can see the hand of God, and trust itself is punished in the presence. When the word of God comes to you in the realm of faith, then trust is punished. In Job chapter 28 verse 9, he said, he putteth forth his hand, he overturned the mountains by the root. Crisis in your life, they will go nowhere until the law of trust is built on your inside. When you stay with God perpetually, one of the things he punishes to you is the ability to believe him. That's why in Romans chapter 10 verse 6, he said, some reason in their head, they say, who will go to the grave and bring Jesus? Or who will go to heaven and pull him down? He said, but that's not how a spiritual man should think. He said, the spiritual man speaks by the law of faith which is in his mouth. He said, if we believe, in verse 16, the report that Isaiah spoke about, Isaiah 53 verse 1, he said, then faith will come to you. He said, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But that faith is based on your ability to believe the word. It's a law of spiritual life. Many can't trust God. If they go to the hospital now, the doctor say, hey, how did you come here? Get a bed quick, get a bed quick. This man is dying. This man, they begin to shake like this. Nothing was wrong with them. They just came for a checkup. But the doctor said, hey, how are you alive? My God, this man is dying. The person. They trust every other thing apart from God. Do you know why you trust the doctor so much? Because you have come to believe in the power of medicine. They have not done any test, but you believe the power of medicine. So the doctor can send you to IPP. But you don't know God enough. The Bible said, they that do know their God, they shall be strong. Daniel 11:32. They shall be strong and do exploit. Most of us, God is alien to us. That's why even when they keep telling you, some come to tell you, they say, four prophets have told me that I'm God. Man of God, am I God? They can't believe. They are rusty. It's because they don't make the presence of God their dwelling place. So the word of God is like stories to them. Even when they read the Bible, it's story. But a man that has cultivated the presence, sometimes you are reading the Bible and you see a scripture, you say, oh my God, you begin to speak in tongues. You jump because salvation has come. The scripture comes alive. Or somebody else is reading it, that story, they will read and do like this. And then he will sleep. When you check, you only read 3 verses. The law of spiritual alignment. I'm diagnosing your condition this night. So when we begin to pray, you know how to ask for help. Because if you continue like this, you may not know the impact now, only 5 years from now. When I was in a university 7 years ago, we thought life, we are going to conquer the world. Some will say, we are not going to labor market, we are going to favor market. But this is a man who is daft. He has no understanding about direction. And he thinks he will just appear like this, and then three doors will line up. The things that are meant for his glory, he didn't deploy his life in those directions. They said, wait on God. He will never, until when he wants to marry. And most of them marry their grave. They get married and they are sentenced to a prison forever. If only they knew that 40 years of their life would be an imprisonment, they would have spent the 5 years before waiting on God to master his ways. Every time you defy the protocol of alignment, you are sacrificing your future on the altar of temporary pleasure. What brings you into the fullness of the provision of the cross is the law of spiritual alignment. The law of the secret place. The law of submission. The law of trust. They are too important. There's also the law of spiritual connectivity. But the last law I want to tell you tonight is what I call the law of eternal consolidation. Because even after you receive this provision, the provisions you receive in time, they are not God's best plan for you. You can be a governor in this world, you can be an apostle in this world. That's not God's best plan for you. God's best plan for you is in eternity, because that's where true life is. Everything God gives us in time is just a tool he puts in our hand so that we can orchestrate the protocol of eternal reward. So when God gives you a gift, the gift is not meant to give you money and pleasure. The Bible said, a man gives, make it room for him and bring it in before king. But everything the kings of this world will give you will perish. So that gift God gave you, it's a tool to negotiate your eternal reward. That's why Paul said, as a wise master builder, that's the wisdom of the apostolic office, the ability to build the foundation of the kingdom. He said, for God will reward every man according to his works. He said, when the time is revealed, every man's work will be tried by fire. So this preaching I'm preaching today, we receive honorarium for preaching. We receive influence for preaching. I've met great people that some dream to meet. I've met them. It's because of this gospel I'm preaching. But it will be foolishness for me to judge the value of this gospel by anything earthly. Because when God wants to reward me for this gospel, it is in eternity. That's why Paul said, I have run my race. I have fought my fight, a good fight. He said, what is left for me now is the crown of glory. Because the reward is not in time. Everything the cross provides you, they are tools for eternal negotiation, for eternal rewards. He said, every man's work will be tried by fire. Every man's work will be tried by fire. What is the nature of your work? The law of eternal consolidation is governed by the law of right motive. If your motives are wrong, no matter how good what you are doing is, there's no reward. Some preach the same gospel we are preaching because of money. So they invite them, they judge the honorarium. This place they will give me 2,000. This place they will give me 50,000. Okay, tell these people we don't have time. We'll go for the one of 50,000. He has received his reward. So his ministry, power is moving everywhere. Things are happening. The people will be blessed, but him, they have no reward. Because that work will be tried by fire. Motives are wrong. Let me show you two scriptures. Very quickly. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 8 and 13. In verse 13, in chapter 3 verse 8, Paul said, all of us will be rewarded according to the quality of our work. And in verse 13 and 14, he said, our works will be tried by fire. But how does God try your work by fire? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. See what the Bible said. Man of God, read 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Quickly, let's see. You have it? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. See what the Bible said. See how God judges your work.
I read. Therefore, judge nothing before the time.
Judge nothing before the time.
Until the Lord comes.
Until the Lord comes.
Who both will bring to light.
Who will bring to light.
The hidden things of darkness.
The hidden things of darkness.
And will make manifest the counsel.
And we make manifest.
The counsel of the heart.
The counsel of the heart.
And then shall every man have praise of God.
And then shall every man have praise of God. So God is not moved that you came for a meeting and 50 people fell under the power. When God wants to praise you, he doesn't praise you by the magnitude of the work. He begins your praise from the quality of the work. And the quality of the work is judged by the motives of your heart. That's why most times, in order to stay aligned, we ask the Lord to purge our heart. Many times we pray, we are not praying because we have a need. We are trusting God to help our heart. We come before the Lord and we cry. Certainly we saw that when we are on the stage, we are now conscious of our dress. It's what people are saying about us that is now our motivation. We begin to cry. We know there's an angular shift. If God doesn't help us quickly, we will end in another dimension. The name of that place is called Hades. Because Peter said, the judgment of we, the preachers, will be worse. It will be stricter. Everything God gives you, there are laws that will make you have them. But it doesn't end there. What you do with those things is even more important. Because that is what will determine what God will give you in eternity. You have a good voice. What's your motive? When you are thinking, what's your motivation? Those are the things the angels are interacting with. When you give, what's your motive? He said, concerning the Pharisees, they stand in public to give so that you have the praise of men. He said, they receive their reward. Every one of us have equal access to spiritual possibilities. But what determines what you can manifest is a function of the laws of spiritual alignment. And tonight, I present the laws of the Spirit to you. What will you do with it? Many of you, the Holy Ghost is calling you to the secret place. Many of you, the Holy Ghost is calling you to the place of obedience and submission. Many of you, the Holy Ghost is calling you to the place of eternal sacrifice. What have you been doing? That's what will determine who you will be in this kingdom. Can we rise to our feet and pray now? I gave you a diagnosis of our condition. As we pray, listen. Don't be carried away. Focus on what God is doing in your life now. And pour yourself into it. Some of you, God is dealing with sin now. Pour yourself into it and ask for help. If help comes, then that power of sin will be tamed. Some of you, God is calling you to prepare for your calling. Pour yourself into it. That prayer will be open-ended, but we will pray in tongues. And as we pray in tongues, when we hit a crescendo where I have the liberty to release the life of God, then I'll do the ministration of the Spirit for 5 minutes, because my goal tonight is to release the power of God so that every man can trade with it accordingly, as consistent with his destiny. Yes, I was going to do an altar call yesterday. But I didn't have time to complete the sequence of these laws. I only talked about submission yesterday. But there are some of you who are guilty of the secret place. Some of us are guilty of sin. Some of us are guilty of diverse things that the Holy Ghost has explained. I want to do another call tonight, very quickly before we go into prayers. This altar call is not necessarily for somebody who wants to give his heart to Christ. When you receive salvation, what you did was to receive the life of God. But when you call Jesus Lord, what you are doing is that you are giving your life to Him for service. I want to do an altar call for people who have been rebellious to the Holy Spirit, but they want to ask for help now. This is not an emotional time. Everything is so calm. This is a time of spiritual rededication born out of conviction. You want to rededicate to the Lord and ask the Lord to use you for the reason you were created. Just wave at me now. Let me know if I'm talking to some persons here. That's perfect. Please, don't allow anybody's decision to influence you. If they are not convinced, don't come here. Because I'm going to pray for the people who are here and release fire on them. If they are not convinced, don't come. Maybe you need to hear the message again or wait for 2 months. Go and wait. But what you want to do now is an eternal dedication of life to the service of the kingdom. If that's your decision tonight, come out quickly.
Jesus, I come to you tonight because your word says, whoever comes to me, I shall in no wise cast away. Therefore, I come to you tonight. I believe in my heart that you died for my sins and that you were raised for my justification. And tonight, I confess with my mouth that you are the Lord of my life. Therefore, have your way in my life. I submit my life to you tonight as my sacrificial offering. Go ahead and pray in the Holy Ghost now. Rababa Shabash. You meant the prayer. If you meant the prayer, don't distract them. Don't distract them. We'll give them paper. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Yelelele Shabadele.
Rianatash,
Over your life through those points of contact. Very quickly, you get the paper, go back to your seat. So that we take 10 minutes for the miracle service. I'm going to be doing 3-level ministration. The first ministration I'm doing now is for those of you that know there is a call on your life. You know, but the ability to fulfill the call. You have asked God to help. You have asked God for spiritual energy for the call, but it has never come. If the powers of God have made us to walk in our call, I stretch my hands in your direction. And I said, the same grace I found, the same mercy that I found, the same power of the Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, move, Holy Ghost. I activate your call. I activate it. Power of God. Power of God. Power of God. Every man here who is called. Jesus. The second activation is the activation of spiritual gifts. Most of you are seers. You see, but sometimes it's when it has passed that you know you saw. You cannot coordinate your sight for kingdom productivity. Right now, in the name of Jesus, every gift in your powers that is a potential, in the name of Jesus, from the left to the right, front, back, I command your eyes in the spirit, open. I command your ears, open. I command the anointing for healing, activated. Every gift of the spirit that you have, I set you on fire right now. Let the gift begin to speak. Let the gift begin to speak. Let the gift begin to speak. Helper, helper, let the gift speak. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Holy Ghost! Kamaratata! Eliana Tale Prosoponas! Let the king speak! Like the whirlwind! 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 Blow like a mighty wind! Spirit of victory! Come on, about to open. Three persons are about to have supernatural encounters now. Somebody is about to touch an angel. Somebody is about to see into the realm of the spirit. Just close your eyes and lift your hands up. It's time for the veil of the divine. I told you, you will see visions here. I told you, Mantarebo Bosch.
Of your feet be healed in Jesus' name.